It's an industry that I generally love. I have a passion for. I eat, sleep, I live for fitness.
No, you need to be obsessed. You need to wake up, think about it. You need to go to bed, think about your clients, think about your progress, think about what you can do better.
Genuinely, like, just be like patient and take your time. Like that is like, you've got to take it all in the right steps. You've got to nail what you do in person before you go online.
I don't like to talk about fear. The fears is usually something that makes your worries real.
Welcome to the Coaching Ignited podcast. I'm your host, Alex Povey. It's great to have you here. This show is all about peeling back the curtain on what's going to help you build the fitness business you truly want. And each week we bring on a new guest to share their stories, insights, and strategies so you too can take action and apply what you learn. The podcast is released every Wednesday on all the major platforms, including Spotify and iTunes. So make sure you go give that a subscribe, guys. Now, if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so you can connect with me there. Now let's get into this week's episode. Enjoy the show. Right, so we're live. We're back with another episode of the podcast. I'm really excited to have Chris on today because we've been trying to put this podcast together for a couple of weeks now. Technology, as good as it is, creates some challenges sometimes. And also he's on the other side of the world as well, which kind of adds to the whole time zone difference. But today we're hoping that this is going to be third time lucky and we're going to give you an amazing podcast with tons of value. Like I said, I'm super excited to speak to Chris because he does a lot of what I do in terms of helping personal trainers grow their businesses, really expand and do things the right way. So Chris, thanks for coming on. For anyone that doesn't know who you are, can we give people a little bit of a context into how you got started in the fitness industry and as well what you're doing today with personal trainers in the industry?
Absolutely. And thanks for having me on the show, Alex. Let's have another crack at this and hopefully the technology gods are on our side, but everything happens for a reason. So thanks again for getting me on. I'm out here in Australia. It's a nice frosty winter's evening, 10 p.m. and we're about 14 degrees Celsius, so not too many complaints coming from my side. All right, so about me. So my role currently, I'm a multiple little roles going on. I work for a fitness chain called EMF or Elite Military Fitness out here in Australia. They started locally where I live on the Gold Coast and have rapidly expanded to 7 large fitness and performance centers, with another 5 in the books to open in the next 18 months interstate and further abroad from where we are here on the Gold Coast. What my role is there is I'm the area personal trainer manager. So my role is to oversee all the personal trainers from the basics to, you know, bringing them on board and making sure their certification is up to speed and then their ongoing training and development to help them to succeed and to make it in the fitness industry, which in Australia, I'm not sure what it's like in the UK, but currently, the stats are a bit elusive. I've reached out to some of the larger groups and I've been promised data, but there seems to be a bit of a delay in getting that back. But my experience tells me that the average lifespan of a personal trainer that enters into a commercial gym is about 9 months before they hit their first hurdles, or probably not when they hit their first, more like when they hit their last and decide that it's time to move on to a different career. And for me, that's tragic. I think that if you're passionate and into wanting to help people by delivering better outlooks on life and personal training, fitness, nutrition, all the rest of it, you know, 9 months is a very short lifespan after you've invested, you know, significant amounts of money and time to get the qualification required. So it's part of my job is to make sure our guys are upskilled and in the right mindset and understanding what it actually takes to succeed as a personal trainer. And this has come on the back of I started my own business about 3 years ago. It's called 51 Fit. It stands for Fitness Industry Training. At first, originally, it was to provide an alternative way, I guess, of completing their Certificate 3 and Certificate 4, which is the base minimums required out here to become a personal trainer. there's plenty of options, plenty of providers out here that do it. However, I was finding most personal trainers were entering the industry with unrealistic goals of what they were going to achieve in the first, you know, 6 to 12 months, and an unrealistic expectation of what the lifestyle and what the actual business side of being a personal trainer is all about. I mean, they get sold a dream of being on $100,000 a year in 6 months doing, you know, the dream job, a few hours in the morning, an extended lunch break, and then a few hours in the evening, working in the gym, having fun, all the rest of it. But, you know, the reality is if you can't sell or if you can't run a business, it's going to be the most laid back and relaxed, lowest paying job you'll ever have. Or, you know, if you do it right, it can be quite time consuming and it can be quite challenging and it can be quite tough, but it can also be the most rewarding thing you'll ever do. So I've sort of combined my, what are we now, 20 years experience in the industry and gone, okay, well, what are the best parts? What are the worst parts? What are the common themes that I see? Why are personal trainers struggling after 20 years of the personal trainer industry in Australia really being of a standard that you can build a business around? What's going on? You know, so in the last 6 years leading up to my current position, I ran a gym, 1,500 odd members there, 14 personal trainers, and I wore many hats: club manager, sales manager, personal trainer manager, retail. So I got a really good, a really good and deep understanding of what it takes to succeed in the fitness industry. My focus has always been on personal training because that's where I was in 2003. That's where I started out. I ran my own small businesses. I had some wins. I had some losses. I identified early my weaknesses. I went back into the workforce as an employee to learn and to be better at those skills, which was sales, marketing, data, following a process, having a system in play, all that sort of stuff. So now here we are. We fast forward to 2019, and I've basically evolved into this coach that loves to help personal trainers. I specialize in commercial gym-based personal trainers, and I think I've established myself as someone who can actually help them get the results they need. And it's not through the popular stuff, and it's not really through the sexy stuff that's being marketed or shown all over social media these days. It's about doing the grind. You know, it's the hard work. It's the day in, day out, building your business from the ground up.
I want to dive into some of the common themes, common struggles that you see with trainers. There's obviously a lot of successful trainers in the industry, people that are doing really well. I speak to a lot of guys who are crushing it, and I'm sure you do too. So it's not all negative. But there's obviously a lot of people that come into the industry with false expectations, or they find it difficult to build a business. Just like in most industries, a lot of people struggle with leads. They struggle with sales, bringing in enough clients, and the fitness industry is no different. But what are some of the common themes, the common struggles that you see, and maybe kind of the root causes of those problems, so we can maybe address them and look at some solutions for people to apply off the back of this podcast?
Absolutely, Alex. And let me just, before we go to that, just say that you're right. There's a ton of super successful personal trainers, both online and in face-to-face settings. It's an amazing industry. I love it. I wouldn't be in it otherwise. It's definitely not all doom and gloom. I think we just see a bit more of the doom and gloom because of the amount of people now wanting to become personal trainers because of the marketing and the advertising going on by the course providers and the educators out there, because obviously they're in it to make some money. But for the ones that are killing it and the ones that are really loving it, the ones that are really making a difference to other people's worlds, there's a couple of key things that they all do, and they all do well. And I could summarize, and we could end this show in the next 30 seconds, but I'll add a bit of padding to it. The main thing is work ethic, Alex. They understand that, you know, they understand that if they're running or they're building a personal training business, they're self-employed, they're not an employee, they have to approach it in a very similar manner to, you know, Bill that opened his fruit and vegetable store, you know, or Barry the Builder. Things just don't happen. You don't just whack a sign in your front yard and buy yourself a uniform and all of a sudden the money flows, the customers are coming in, the phone's ringing off the hook. None of that happens, and it doesn't happen for anything. So we just got to let guys know that if you're expecting that, if you're expecting a shortcut and all this money to come flowing at you just because you did an entry-level certificate course, then that's where your problem is right now. We have to address that first. But if you understand how a business works, if you understand how anything worthwhile works, then you've probably given yourself a better opportunity to succeed. Now, one of the things I do notice is the personal trainers that do well follow a simple series of tasks, okay? And when you think about it, it's the same series of tasks that the personal trainers that don't do well preach to their clients to do well in. All right, so stick with me on this one. If you're a personal trainer and a client comes to you and says, I need to lose weight, once you've done the goal setting, once you've worked out their lifestyle and all the rest of it, you're going to have to come up with a plan or a program. You're probably then going to say, right, well, we need to track your calories. Let's see what calories are going in and let's see what calories you're burning. All right, so we're going to map that data. We're going to write a program with sets and reps or time or distances. Now, we're going to keep all this. And then you're going to say to this person, now you need to pay me X amount of dollars to keep you on track once a week, twice a week, three times a week. You know, and at the end of the week, we're going to look at the data you've compiled. We're going to look at the calories in versus calories out. We're going to look at the workouts you've done and the weights you've lifted. And we're going to have a better idea of what it is that's working for you and where perhaps we need to make some adjustments to get a better result. Most personal trainers listening would understand. They go, yeah, that makes total sense. That's exactly what I would do with my client. Yet very few personal trainers do that for their own business. They don't track their leads generated. They don't track the amount of people they've spoken to and the outcome of those conversations. They don't track how many appointments they set as a result of those conversations. They don't track how many times they presented to someone in that appointment and how many times they've closed them or sold them onto a package. So therefore, at the end of the week, when they look back at their productivity, they don't really know what worked and what didn't. They don't know if that conversation was a viable, worthwhile conversation. They don't know if that phone call resulted in an appointment or did the person just need the appointment. They don't know if someone bought a package because of the way they presented it or the information contained or the package itself. They have no idea. They're just winging it, right? So the guys that are doing well, the guys that succeed, the guys that turn this in from a passion into a business and from a business into a, and in some cases, an empire, is they track that data and they track it every single day for every single interaction that they have with a prospective client all the way through to current clients. So that's probably the main things I notice, mate, that they do differently and better in the guys that are succeeding versus the ones that just are struggling to make it work.
Yeah, makes total sense. From working with these personal trainers then so closely, and you're obviously working with them face to face, you're going through the motions with them. What's the process like for you to get them into this kind of process of tracking things and looking at the data, just like you explained, looking at the macros, the calories and their client results? How do you get them into that mindset? How do you address it and make it an important factor of running a business for them?
Well, good, it's a good question there, Alex. I mean, in my current role, we have 46 personal trainers. That's in my role as the PT manager across EMF. I have about 23 students on the books now at various levels of Cert 3 and 4, and I have about half a dozen external PTs that I coach from other organizations around Australia. Now, some just get it, mate. Some of them I say, what's your data? How do we know what's working? Let's start tracking that. And they go, oh, perfect. Didn't even consider that. Yep, let's do that. And they're great. They jot it down. Others, mate, it is honestly like trying to get a child to eat their vegetables. You know, they know they should. They know it's not going to kill them if they do, but it's just getting them to do it, right? So I used to get quite frustrated with that. I'd used to sort of, get annoyed and think, well, you know what? There's only so much I can do to help you if you're not willing to help yourself. And that's a normal kind of reaction until I started to, I guess, dig deeper into my own personal development, my own professional development, and find out, well, listen, it's my responsibility to find the connection. Just like a personal trainer, not every client will track their calories. They won't always track their food and they won't always give 100% in the gym. You need to be the one to find how that works. Now, for Billy, it might be, Billy, if you don't do this, you're going to fucking fail. Well, for Mary, it might be, listen, hey, why don't you try this? We'll coast a little bit nicer this way, or we'll try this thing. So you've really just got to have a bit of a broader scope in your communication and your delivery. At the end of the day, what I do preach from day one with my guys, whether they've just signed on to become a student or whether they're a PT, is at the end of the day, you are accountable for you, okay? I don't pay your bills. You know, I'm not putting clients in front of you. This is your choice. You decided on this career. You've got to want to do this yourself. Now, I can hand them the tools. I can show them the way, but they really need to do the work themselves, right? So what I've found out more recently is instead of trying to show them the best sales script and instead of trying to show them the best way to deliver this or to have this conversation or to approach this person on the gym floor, I've got all those tools and they're all amazing. And when done well, they're quite successful. However, just again, like a client that's not really engaged, if they're not using them correctly, then how do we know? I mean, what's the purpose, right? So what I've started to do more so in the last couple, in about last 12 months at least, is to work on their discipline. I'm teaching them how to have discipline. I'm telling them or showing them how to develop a discipline that will help them not only in this particular role, but it'll help them in their life, it'll help them in their future, and it'll help them dealing with their clients. So the thing that I identified they need the most help with is developing a strong, robust discipline to get these things done for themselves.
I love that because that reminds me of the conversation that we had. I think the first time around when we recorded the podcast, you were talking about a challenge, the 75 hard challenge, and how that has really helped you forge that self-discipline. And how that's been so powerful for you. And I totally agree with you, Chris. Like, it's not just about the strategies, the systems, and the processes. It's about the implementation. And it sounds a bit cliche, but it's about taking action, isn't it? Not just consuming things and going, yeah, that's great, and then not doing it. It's no different to training or bodybuilding or like being healthy. Like, you can't just have one good meal or train once and be in the best shape of your life. And I think people miss that relationship with business as well. Is it's a consistent thing that you've got to do every single day. You've got to get up, be disciplined, like you say, go out there, generate leads, go out there, speak to people, build relationships, take people through your sales process. When you get knocked back, you dust yourself off, you go again. And it's a continuous process that never ends. You've always got to be upkeeping, generating new leads and getting more people into your business as you get that client turnover.
100%. And it really comes down to that now. You know, I'm 40. I just turned 40 recently and I can look back and go, well, some of this is not even their fault. Now, I'm definitely not a blame shifter or poor them and poor us or whatever. But, you know, we don't learn this stuff in school. We learn basic math and we learn basic communication, but we don't learn this stuff. And it's funny, people accept that. They say, well, we don't learn this stuff in school. And now I'm 30 years old and I've never been taught this stuff. But, you know, 30 years ago, you may have had a decent argument, because if you finish school and you're not really the book guy or girl, where are you going to learn this stuff from? But it's 2019. Everything that you want to learn is available in the palm of your hands. So in 2019, if you don't know something, if you're not sure how to do something, that's 100% on you, because you know that you might not have got it in school, but it's right there in your hand. Stop scrolling on Facebook, start searching, see what you can find. Okay. A lot of the PTs I talk to and say, listen, man, why aren't you having that conversation? Why can't you walk out on the gym floor and have that chat? Why can't you call these members up and invite them in? Why can't you do this? Oh, I'm just not very confident. Okay, so why aren't you confident? Oh, I'm just a bit nervous, or I'm not very good with sales. And the reality is that you can't have confidence without discipline. Right? Discipline leads to confidence. So the more you do something, the better you get at it, the more confident you are in that thing. Right? So if you heard a song for the first time and I said, go sing it, you would not have the confidence to sing that song because you wouldn't know it. Right, but if you practiced it every day and you listened to it all the time and you really dug your heels in and figured out everything there is about that song, as an example, then I said, go sing the song. Now you've got the confidence to go sing it because you had the discipline to learn it. Right. So if I said to you, go out on the gym floor, go to speak to 5 different people and come back with their phone numbers. Now, if you haven't practiced that, if you don't know what you're going to say and why you're going to say it, if you're not sure how to start the conversation or how to end the conversation because you haven't practiced it, you're not going to have the confidence to go do that. But if you and I spent, you know, half an hour every day for 2 weeks practicing role playing, going over variations of that, you know, troubleshooting with different objections or different responses, and you did that every single day, then you're going to have the discipline. You know, you put in the work, you showed the discipline to learn it. Now you're going to go out on that gym floor with confidence. So what I do is I break it down to that. I get guys back and say, listen, the things you are struggling with is the delivery or the conversation or the pitch or the price presentation, whatever it is. So let's practice the hell out of it. Let's run it over and over and over, and I'll play different roles and you'll play different roles and practice with your mum and your partner and your kids or whatever. Practice it. Do it 5, 6, 10, 20 times a day, whatever it takes for you. Develop that discipline to do this and to practice it and to be amazing at it. So then you do have the confidence. Once you've got that confidence, away you go. Now, the other thing I spin on that is that you can't have confidence without discipline, right? But the confidence without discipline is essentially just your ego. So you'll say, oh, yeah, I can do it. And you go out there and you'll choke, let's say. And then you won't do it again because you'll be like, no, that didn't work, because your ego said it didn't work, right? But again, if you'd practiced and practiced and practiced, then you went out and delivered it and it didn't work, your ego wouldn't talk. Your confidence would say, right, I got it right. It was the wrong person, or it was the wrong time, or I didn't quite spit it out the way I needed to. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to practice it some more because I have the discipline. I'll go back out again. I'll have another go at it. Now you're probably nailing it.
Love that, Chris. When you were saying that, it reminded me of when I first started out in sales, actually. I started working for basically a property investment company where we had to sell off-plan investments, you know, these big high-rises, sell them to investors for cash over the phone. So high-ticket sales, pretty daunting for someone new going into sales that I'd never done it before. And I remember a little thing that I used to do, and it kind of circles back to what you were saying about kind of the practice and just getting used to stuff. I used to walk to work, and because I noticed when I turned up at work, I was still a little bit like rusty or lacking confidence, or I didn't really want to get on that first phone call and make a cold call. I used to walk to work and just say hello to people as I was walking to work. So say hello and just like speak to strangers effectively, not stop in the street or anything and have a long conversation, but I would just literally turn to them and say, hey, how are you doing? Good morning. Right. And it gave me a little bit of a buzz, a little bit of anxiety. But once I'd done about three or four of those kind of like hellos, how are you? Good mornings. When I got to the office, I was in a much better state for getting on the phone and then speaking to more strangers, but actually having to sell them something. So it's kind of like those little things, right? Those little hacks, or those little practices, or those little, like you said, little wins. And it's kind of the same as training. You don't just jump on a squat rack and do 150 kg squat. If you've never done it before, you build up. You start on 50, 60, 70, and you get a new PB and a new PB, and then you can handle more weight. And it's kind of like the same in sales or business. Like if you're not continually putting in the reps or practicing, then it's going to seem like a lot of weight on your shoulders physically to do it. And that's going to affect your confidence, and it's going to affect your discipline, like you said. So it's kind of like a big feedback loop where you've kind of got to address it at the easiest stage and then build from there, right?
Mate, you've nailed it. And this is the thing that I love, how you're articulating it and saying it out loud, because if anyone that's a personal trainer is listening to this, they should literally be having bells going off every second here, because everything that you're going to need to be, you know, to learn and do well at to build your business is exactly the same shit you need to learn and do well at to get stronger, to get fitter, to get faster, to lose weight. You guys already know this stuff, right? You understand that you will not go and try a PB of twice your body weight if you haven't practiced it, right? But if you've practiced it and you already know in the gym, in your workouts, that you've already hit close to your PB, because of the discipline to stick with it day in, day out, week after week, to build it up. Now, the day you go to do it, you've got that level of confidence, not ego, confidence, because of the discipline that's been established. You know, you said something before, mate, and it's absolutely brilliant. It's something that I do. I don't know if you send a photo out with this, but, you know, I can look like not an approachable guy. You know, I'm 6'2 and currently about 110 kilos. And I've got a beard and stuff. Yeah, when I smile, I don't think people know that I'm smiling. So I have to go out of my way, and I notice this about me. So again, I do what you just said. I make an effort. When I'm out, I call it outreach with intent. When I'm out in the local community around the facilities that I'm at, I go out of my way to say, hello, how's your day? You know, how long have you been working? I start little mini conversations, not with any intention to stick around for more than 5 minutes. It's to make me get out of my comfort zone and to engage with other humans, right? And so also, I like the feeling it gives you. It gives you a little bit of a high. You just spoke to a stranger and they walk off with a smile. You walk off with a smile. It's a great feeling, but that confidence, based on the discipline to keep doing that whenever I see people, obviously boosts my confidence in other areas of life as well. You know, so I think that's a great little hack, mate, is to go out of your way to meet and say hi to people on the way to work. It's just like around the gym floor. Not every conversation needs to convert to a 10-pack. You know, not every conversation needs to be your lifelong PT client. But the more of the little conversations you stack up around the gym floor, the more confident you're going to be having those conversations. The more people see you, you're more approachable, you're more accessible. And then all of a sudden you became the guy that people want to talk to. Now, I guarantee you in every gym around the globe, there are PTs that let their ego get in the way and they don't talk and they don't make eye contact and they think they're the shit and their eyes go to the ground or their eyes are at the ceiling, but they're not engaging with the members and they're the ones that will struggle. You know, so you really have to develop that discipline by doing these things daily, get out of your comfort zone and engage. You've really got to engage, you know. Scripting. Yeah, like I started, like I said, 2003, 2005, I was working in a membership sales role and we were not able to do anything outside the script. We had a script for the phone call. The only variation was the person's name, the day and the time that we booked the appointment. Everything else had to flow. Whatever they said, we had to drag it back onto the script. When they came into the club, we had a script. It was an A4 page size script. Now, it wasn't a formula or a pathway to follow. It was a word for word script. Right. And not until we'd earned the right to deviate by sheer results were we able to deviate. Right. So we had to say these exact words in this exact format, in this exact time to these exact responses. Now, at first, you feel like a robot, but as soon as you realize it's the first time that human has heard what you're saying, you no longer feel like a robot because they haven't heard it before. You might have said it for the 10th time today, but it's the first time they've heard it. So then you get a bit of confidence with that and you start to deliver it with a bit of your own tone. Then when you understand the script inside and out, you can deliver it in your own fashion, in your own tone, around the context of the conversation, in a conversational format. And if it drifts off, it's okay because you know how to pull it back to the key points that you're trying to get it to. But again, that didn't just happen. You know, that came on the back of role play, go practice it, you know, be scrutinized, have your manager watch over you and make sure you've, you know, covered all the points and you come back. Now, here it is, 16, you know, something years later. I can almost right now, I won't because of the time of the show, but I can almost for word recite that script for you. The phone script, the in front of the person script, the closing. I do it on a day by day basis with our PTs to prove the point that repetition builds that confidence. You know, I can step into the field now and I can sign a PT for myself. I can join a gym member. I can get a coach onto my packages. I can get new students on board and I don't use the same script anymore. But I understand the format. I understand what you need to get out of the conversation and more importantly, what the other person needs to get out of the conversation. Discipline equals confidence. You can't have confidence without the discipline.
Totally, man. Another thing I want to add into the mix there is, and this is something that I learned myself, which was really, really helpful in the process of having these interactions, conversations, building relationships, cold calling or sales in general, is basically detaching yourself from the outcome.
Yep.
Because I think it's easy to get really attached to an outcome, particularly when you're coming from a position of scarcity. So anyone listening to this who might not have as many clients as they'd hoped for where they are in their business, or they've just lost maybe 3 or 4 clients because it's the summer and people are going on holidays, it's easy to slip into a mindset of scarcity. And then every interaction, every engagement, every consultation then becomes high pressure because you attach yourself too much to the outcome. And then what it does is it actually paralyzes you from going out and generating more because you're getting too emotionally wrapped up in the situation. And this is what I preach to my trainers is, yes, you want the sales and you want the outcome, which is the income, the new client, you want to get them results, great, that's awesome. But if you put too much emphasis on the outcome and attach yourself too much to it, it will crush you when it doesn't come in. And that alone will destroy the rest of your day or week and prevent you from going out and generating more business. What are your thoughts on that, Chris?
Mate, yeah, nailed it. And this is, again, this goes back to my point a couple of minutes ago about we don't get taught this in school, right? We need to learn a process and then apply it. And that's pretty much all there is, but there is no gray area or what ifs allowed. So this is something we need to go and sort out. This is something we need to go and learn, right? So this scarcity mindset, again, that could be the way you were raised up. You know, you might've been in a household where there wasn't a great deal of money or success, whatever success looks like to you, you know, whether it's the house or the car or the clothes or the grades in school, whatever, you know, but people think there's a limited amount of stuff. And if you think like that, then when you do have a bad day, as you said, that's what you'll obsess on. That's where you'll be stuck, you know. You won't be able to move out of that gap. And no matter how hard you try to mask that, it comes out of you. People feel it. They sense it. They see it. They hear it. You display body language. Like you just can't work around it. If you're out there and you're thinking to yourself, wow, I've dropped three people this week. I need this next one. I need to get them on. You'll do and say things that you may not do or say if you had $10,000 sitting in your bank today with a guaranteed 10 grand popping in tomorrow, right? And that's me speaking from personal experience. Looking back, I can look back now and say there were times in my early days in my career where I did let that financial pressure or that external stresses influence my day to a point where it was suffocating, you know, and then without any conscious decision or conscious thought, the next couple of days, things got better. Now, when I look back now with hindsight, I'm like, you know why they got better? Because this distraction came along. It took me out of the funk of thinking about those negative things. And all of a sudden, things went good again. You know, and so you look back now with 2020 hindsight and you go, wow, it was right there. It was right there in front of me. So you can have a bad day. You've just got to focus on what wins you can pull out of it. Okay. I use an analogy all the time with my guys is, how many games of football do you need to win in a season to win the grand final? The answer is not all of them. You know, you can go undefeated and lose the grand final. You can win just enough games and be the team that just scrapes through to the semifinal, and then somehow you make it into the grand final, and then you win it. So the important lesson there is you don't have to win every single thing every single day, but you do have to be measuring it. You do have to know where you sit on the league ladder. How many wins do you need to do to get to the big one? Okay, you've had a couple of losses. How many more can you sustain before you really need to make some changes? Right, but you've just got to be focused. And this brings me back to what we said at the start with data. Like if I'm out there and I'm having a day where no one's picking up the phone and everyone on the gym floor is happy with what they're doing and no one really wants to have a conversation, there's been no opportunities land in my inbox or via front reception, do I just sit and go, well, that's me done? No, I'd sit at the end of the day and I'd write down all the losses for the day, but I'd look at yesterday, I'd look at the day before and the previous week and I'd look for a pattern. If there's no pattern, then I write it off and go, right, it's just a bad day. I reset my goals. I get back on the grind. I do everything I know works for the next X amount of hours or days until the result comes back around again. Because why? I've got the confidence in the numbers because I've had the discipline to keep them. See the pattern? It always comes back to those two things. If you've got the confidence in what you do, and if you've got the confidence in the data that you've been keeping due to the discipline that you've been establishing and developing, everything comes good.
I love the analogy about taking the shots because it's so true. You just got to take shots, but if you're not taking any shots at all, then you've lost by default if you're not taking any shots.
Now, Alex, my sporting background was American football. I played it for 20-something years, right? For the first 10 years, I just loved the game. It was fun. It was violent collisions. It was explosive. You know, being an Australian kid, we got to watch it on the TV about the Americans. So it was a big show, right? I really just loved the whole thing about it. But it wasn't until about 10 years of playing it when I was about 25 where I actually clicked and I started to realize it is human chess. Everything is measured. Everything is recorded. Nothing is done purely like in other sporting codes where it's free flowing and you're relying on the athleticism of a team and there's strategy, and the strategy is usually score more points than the other team, you know, in most of the codes. Whereas American football, every step is moved, every step is formulated. Then they review every game and every practice. They run the film and they slow everything down. And that's when it sort of dawned on me when I looked back into those days and went, that's exactly what it takes. You know, did you score the touchdown because your guy is bigger, faster, stronger, he ran the play perfectly, he executed his role and he just outplayed the other guy? Or did he catch the ball and the guy fell over, leaving him unchallenged to score the touchdown? You know, to use a soccer or a football analogy for your guys, is did you kick an amazing goal or did the goalie slip over in the mud and the ball just rolled in? What caused it? Yep. So some guys will be happy and they go, I don't care, we got a goal. That's the main thing. It's like, yeah, but is that attitude or is that style going to get you the championship? Probably not. Because had that goalie not slipped over, does the ball cross the line? No way. He probably catches it and boots it back out into the field and the game goes on. And knowing the high scoring game that is soccer, that could have been your one and only chance to actually get the win. You know, so that's where I guess where I sort of started drawing the lines together of going, well, you need to know your data. You've got to go back and look at it. Did you succeed because of the effort, the strategy, the plan, and you executed it well? Or did it just happen? Yeah. I've seen enough personal trainers that have got to a level of success, of relevant success to them, but they have no idea how they got there. So as soon as they hit a bad day, as soon as they get a run of bad luck, they crumble because they have nothing to fall back on. They don't know. All of a sudden they're doing well, then all of a sudden they're not doing well and they don't know where to start. So that data, super important.
So I want to make this super actionable and practical for anyone listening, particularly because your area of expertise is in commercial gyms, right? So you're helping trainers in commercial gyms. I'd like to dive into that. And basically, for anyone listening that's at a place right now where they've probably not got enough clients or they've lost some clients or maybe they're just starting out and they really want to fast track their progress and move forward, generate leads and bring more clients into their businesses, but they've not really got anything on the go and they're not really sure what to do. What advice would you give to those people who need to get the ball rolling and need to get into like a positive pattern of building their business? What would be your advice, Chris?
Okay, so first thing I'm going to suggest is you've got to create little tasks for yourself to complete every single day that move you closer to your end goal. Okay, so you're going to need to set some goals. You're going to have to set a daily goal, a weekly goal, perhaps a monthly goal. Depends how far ahead you can see in your current situation and how dire it is or isn't. Okay, so I'd be setting things like, right, I want to put on 2 new clients by the end of the week. It's Sunday night. I'm planning my week ahead. By Friday, I want to have signed 2 new clients. Okay. Now, it depends on your current situation, but let's say you sign 2 clients to do 1 session each and you're charging about $70 a session. So, okay, you can say, right, I'm going to bring $140 into my business by the end of the week. Right. It's a fairly realistic and achievable goal, in my opinion. What's that going to take? Do you go speak to 2 people and they sign? Or do you have to speak to 20 people and they sign? Now, if you've been keeping data, you'll have an idea of that. If you've been keeping no data and you're going in blind, well, guess what? We're just going to have to go for it. So I'd be suggesting, okay, let's make some little goals and I'm going to do these things every single day, not negotiable, because I know that they will get me closer to reaching those 2 clients. So if I'm in a commercial gym, I'm going to be setting a minimum standard, a minimum goal of going to introduce myself to a minimum of 5 new members per day for the week. That's not, hey, my name's Chris, hope you have a great day. It's what I do is everything that I'm about to tell you, these 5 things need to all be completed with 2 key words in mind, purpose and intent. So in the case of meeting a person on the gym floor, what's your purpose and intent? So the purpose is to go and give them an amazing experience, an amazing customer service experience. Wow, that trainer is amazing. So much energy, such a nice person. They were so helpful. I'm really happy I train at this gym. I'm really happy I chose to come to this facility. Okay, so when you go and have a chat to them, that's the purpose, to leave them feeling like that. Your intention is to provide or to create an opportunity for you to build your business. So if you just go up and give them a great experience and walk off, that's great. You've fulfilled the purpose component, but you didn't do the intention part. If you go up there and you just try and sell your PT, you've taken care of the intention, but you didn't really attach any purpose to it. But if you combine the two, so for example, hey, mate, how you doing? What are you training today? Oh, I'm training a bit of chest. Oh, great. What's your name? My name is Chris. Oh, it's Alex. Hey, Alex, nice to meet you. How long have you been a member at this gym? Oh, great. Are you enjoying your time here? Excellent. Do you see a trainer? You haven't got a trainer. Oh, well, are you following any kind of program? Great. Okay. So you're getting a result? Fantastic. Now, listen, hey, I'm one of the trainers here. If you ever see me around, you need a hand with a spot or you've got some questions, please feel free to give me a yell. And by the way, I've got this little thing on my phone. It's a little checklist of some things to do here in the gym to make sure you make the most of your membership. What's your phone number? I'll text it through to you now. So my name's Bill and my name is Alex, sorry, and here's my phone number. Great. And you text it through and it might be a little checklist of do this class, do this workout, swim in the pool, buy some supplements, whatever. You create this relevant to your position. Now I've had a conversation with somebody on the floor and I've ticked off both boxes: purpose, great service, friendly personal trainer, offering some assistance and some help. And the intention is to create an opportunity to build my business. So by texting them through something that they can use to benefit themselves and make the most out of their membership, I now have their number and their name. Okay, so I've met a person, I've created some sort of relationship, I've built a little bit of rapport, and I've exchanged phone numbers. All done without a sales pitch, all done without feeling uncomfortable. Purpose and intent, tick the two boxes, move on. Let's get five of those a day. Now, if you get five of those conversations a day with that kind of a result over your week, that's 25 people, do you think you're closer or further away from signing those two new clients on the books?
Love that. Super, super actionable and really simple to deploy. It's not overly complicated. It just requires that key thing, which is effort, right, Chris, is putting in the reps and actually going out there and doing it. Like you mentioned at the start, the goal setting, and people have heard of goals and why you should set goals, but why is that important? Why do people need to set
intention? Well, it's a psychology thing, Alex. We want to, the reason we set goals and the reason we set big audacious goals, massive mind-blowing goals, is to give you some sort of motivation or inspiration to push forward. Right, but if all you're setting are these big giant goals and you haven't got the small actionable tasks or actionable goals set in place to get you there, that's all it is. It's like, okay, I plan to be a millionaire by playing the lotto once a week. Cool, you might get there. It's probably unlikely. What are other ways you could get to $1 million? Okay, well, I know I could create a $1 million product and sell one, or I could create a $1 product and sell a million of them. Right. So now we're actually breaking down what it might take to earn $1 million and everything in between that. So the idea of having these little goals, and this is what the actionable tasks that I mentioned, I just gave an example of one, which was to go meet five people. But let's say you did go meet five people. Let's say it is go and get a list from the gym, from the reception, about low attenders or a birthday list or recent joiners or something. And you cut that up and go, right, I'm going to meet five people on the gym floor today. I'm going to make 10 phone calls to current members just to ask how they're doing, see if there's anything I can help them with, a service call, right? Then I'm going to go and try and meet three people in the general public outside the facility, so the local convenience store or the petrol station or what have you. Then I'm going to listen to a podcast such as yours, or I'm going to read a book, 10, 20 pages of something to do with self-help, professional development, self-development, business skills, something like this, right? And then I'm going to go work out. Right, so it's really important to body and mind. So if I did all five of those things today, one, I'm going to have a sense of achievement at the end of my day and go, you know what? I set myself five goals, half of which were things that took me outside my comfort zone. But guess what? I did them. Now I get a little buzz. I get a little feel good. I get a little win. And then tomorrow I reset the exact same five goals and I stack them up again and I get another little win, right? And another little win the following day, and another little win the following day after that. So the psychology is you're starting to feel good. You're starting to feel that you can do things. You've stuck to the, you've created that discipline. You're starting to build that confidence I told you guys about, right? I used to say in our football team, it's win so often that you forget how to lose, right? Now, some people mistook that as being arrogance or ego, but I didn't mean like just games. I mean just day by day. So the football guy, and again, I'll use that example, maybe they did all these things at their work for the day. They had a win at work. They had a win at home. Then they turn up to practice. They're going to be in a better state of mind. They're going to be fresher and more energetic, and they're going to be ready to do the work. It's the same thing as this. Set yourself some goals that you can, and you don't want to make them easy. It's not like brush your teeth, drink 2 glasses of water, eat 3 meals a day. That's bullshit, and that's not going to give you the wins. You've got to set things that are actionable tasks that, when completed, move you closer to your big goal. When you stack enough of these daily goals up and you start to win the day, then you start to win the week, then you start to stack a few weeks together, then you start to stack a few months together, and before you know it, you're 6 months in. Now, keep in mind, let's say you met 5 people a day, 5 days a week for the month. That's 100. 5 fives are 25. That's 125 new people that you've engaged with over that month's period, over that month's time. It's pretty impressive. Would you say that the wins are starting to stack up and move you closer to your goal in that situation? Absolutely. So it's about creating the wins. It's a psychology thing. We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to know that we're moving forward. Now, when it happens, and it will, when the day comes that you're 2-3 days in, maybe it's 24 days in, and you just hit a day where nothing's going your way, and no matter what, you can't get all 5 of those things ticked off. You just didn't get the 5 people, or you just didn't get to meet 3 outside, or you didn't drink your water, or you didn't do your workout. Does that mean that everything else is gone? Does that mean it's ruined your whole season? No. But now you've developed the discipline. Now you're starting to build some confidence. You can look at that and go, that's a bad day. Just had a bad day. Tomorrow morning, I wake up, I get fresh, and we start these 5 goals again, right? And you start to win. You start to stack them up again. You feel good about yourself, and on you go. That's the importance of having these little wins. That's the importance of having a system or having little goals to chase.
I love that you covered that that little segment at the end about having a potentially bad day or a couple of bad days, because it's of course, and it's easy to go, yeah, let's just be positive, let's just focus on the wins. But I think one of the biggest detriments to a lot of people, and I've been there myself, and I'm sure you have, is when you focus too much on the losses, and then you almost forget all the wins that you've had. When you've got to really just nip that in the bud, reframe it, and just make sure that you focus on the good outcomes that you had, and then you're going to attract more of those good outcomes versus attracting more of the bad ones, or allowing that to slow you down from making future progress, right?
Absolutely. And again, this is how we're raised. I know that over in the UK, there's very similar mindset and similar, you know, education and the way we communicate in the home environment and such, is that don't be afraid to celebrate your wins. When you get home of an evening, your win today might be that you went and spoke to 2 people on the gym floor, 2 more than you ever have before. Nothing resulted in it, but you spoke to them, and you spoke to them with confidence, and you felt good about it, and you gave them something beneficial for them, and they walked away feeling great. When you get home, this is important, guys, have a journal next to your bed or something and write them in. Today, I felt good about speaking to 2 new members on the gym floor. They walked away with a smile and understanding how to use a piece of equipment better than they did when they got there. That is a win. That's a confidence booster. That's something you did that impacted someone else positively, which will come back to you, right? It's okay to think about it. It's okay to go home and think about, oh, that was a good result. That was nice. But when you write it down, just like when you write goals down, just like when you write down your food diary, it's real. It's right in front of you, and you can't look away from it. So it's really important, guys. You got to celebrate your wins. You know, if you don't celebrate your wins, who's going to? Right? We sort of raised up in a thing of, oh, stay humble and keep your head down. And no, I'm not talking about making a big song and dance about it. But you must acknowledge and celebrate your little wins in order to create that culture in yourself that you can accept and go looking for more, and you can be proud of your efforts. Right? And it's addictive. And once you start getting these little wins, it's great. You feel amazing, especially when you know your wins are benefiting other people.
Yeah, totally, man. I feel like we've covered a really good theme here with, it's not just about the strategy and the systems, and I talk about this a lot. It's a lot to do with your mindset, the way you see yourself, your self-confidence, which we covered. All these things are really integral to running a business where you're in a service-based industry. And it's relying on you, the person, to then go out there and generate the business, speak to people, be high energy, and keep going when things get tough. For you, what has been really important over the years to help you stay in that best kind of mental shape? What things have you done to build those calluses to sharpen your mind or just keep you in a good space so that you can go out and do what you need to do on a consistent basis? Would love to hear what you do, Chris.
Oh, yeah, man, I'd love to share. Now, a lot of this shift for me has come in the last 3 years, to be totally honest with you guys. In the last 3 years, the things I've learned and understand now how to apply, I look back and they were always there. I just didn't quite see it or understand it. So for me, it was focusing on self-development. It was, you know, spending as much time as you would researching a particular, a particular training style or a particular new thought process on macros or nutrition or why this strength curve is more important or this piece of machinery. That stuff is really important. But again, if you're not really switched on, if you're not really in a state of mind, if you haven't really developed that resilience and that discipline required, all that information is useless. So what I did is I started to invest a lot of time into self-development, professional development. I tuned into podcasts and, you know, I found some which were good and some which were not so good, but they might have led me to the next one and the next one. And you start to figure out, again, I had the discipline to keep listening and learning and applying, but you find out what resonates with you, you know, and you start to figure out these things. And for me, you know, if I was going to drop a couple of books, there was ones from Jocko Willink and Leif Braben, Extreme Ownership and Dichotomy of Leadership. They were fantastic for me on how to communicate to the teams that I lead. Good old Law of Attraction, which is something I wrote off as, you know, fairy unicorn dust book, until I read it and went, actually, this shit is actually real, and I've felt it and experienced it without knowing it. So now, you know, now I can see those things. So it is, it's about, you've got to open your mind to what you are capable of. We've got to get past these self-limiting thoughts. We've got to open up that thought process of abundance we spoke of earlier. It's the key to it. Like, I mean, we could sit here between, Alex, between you and I, we could 100% come up with scripts and copy. We could come up with all these things that is a fail safe. You cannot fail. But if people aren't doing it because they don't have the confidence to say it or they don't feel they're the right person to deliver that message, it doesn't matter. So you've got to really work on that self-development. You've got to really figure out who you are and what your strengths are and then be confident and believe in yourself before you can really go and put these other actionable things into play.
Love it, man. Thanks for sharing all this great stuff with us. I'm conscious that we're drawing in on the hour. So I just want to say thank you for coming on. I'm so glad that we finally managed to box this off and get a show together. By far, this has probably been the best one that we've done, although we only shot two. So thank you so much for coming on. Now, for anyone listening, where can they find out more about you and what you do with 51 Fit? And all the projects that you've got going on?
Mate, the best place to be is check me out on Instagram. It's at 51, the number, so 51 underscore FIT. So it's 51 underscore fit. I do most of my stuff there. And if there's anything that I'm going to be sharing or pointing in the right direction, I'll put it there first. We connected on LinkedIn, so I'm on LinkedIn there as well. We have a YouTube channel which has 25 episodes of our PT Performance podcast. That's just under, if you search the PT Performance Podcast, you'll find it on YouTube and iTunes. Website's under construction, took it down and we're having a bit of a play around with it just to come up with something different. So yeah, find me on Instagram, guys. I'd love to connect with you. If you're on Instagram, look me up, send me a DM and said you heard about me or you heard about this on the show. It's just good to see where we're reaching and who we're in touch with. And yeah, if you like the way I share my message, if you think, you know, that resonates with you and that connects, yeah, I'd love to connect with you guys across the globe and talk some shit on Instagram and see if we can help you out.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll chuck all the links in the show notes to your social. Just on your point with LinkedIn, yeah, we did connect on there. And for anyone listening to this show, like, it is a pretty untapped resource right now, particularly for fit pros and personal trainers, because the organic reach is just insane on there. It's kind of like Facebook was in 2011 in terms of the organic reach. Like, you can get seriously viral posts. And it's not super saturated with trainers right now. So it's kind of a little bit of an untapped gem. So anyone listening to this who is really looking to grow their reach or get more leads, I would be pitching up on LinkedIn. And if you're already posting on Facebook or Instagram, it's a case of kind of recycling that content, and you could easily be drip feeding that through onto LinkedIn to generate some more interest, awareness. And like anything, if you put in the time, in 3 to 6 months, then you're going to see the fruits of that labor. So yeah, just wanted to throw that in there for people listening. Now, one of the things that I want to finish on, which is what I do with all the guests, is I want to ask you and your views on what you think makes a good coach, Chris. So what characteristics or what things do you think make a good coach?
Okay, so on top of the things we've already spoken about, you need to be able to listen. You know, you have to listen with intent and with purpose, not to hear what you want to hear or to let them finish so that you can say your next thing. You got to be a great listener. Okay. Then you've obviously got to be someone who can actually put all the pieces of the puzzle together and deliver it to Mary different to how you would have to deliver it to Barry. So great listener, great communicator. They're the two, and do both of those with intent and with purpose. You can't go wrong.
Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you did enjoy it, I'd be really grateful if you could leave a short review on one of the platforms. And if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym with 500 plus members and you want to fast track your income growth and learn how to sign multiple new clients a week, reach out to me personally through Facebook or Instagram and just drop me a private message so we can get the conversation started and see if you could be a good fit for one of our programs. All the links to my social can be found in the show notes so we can connect there. See you next week.